Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse its spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought. And now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am.
Moment. I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Romans chapter 4, verse 18.
I'm going to back you up just one verse, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. I want to throw that in there too. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne of mercy and grace, asking your blessings on your word and on us, Lord, your people, on this service, Lord. We pray that you would be honored and glorified and our lives blessed for being here this morning, that we might hear from you. And Lord, we need your grace, we need your blessing, and so we ask for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you do hear us and that you've promised to open up our hearts and understanding. Bless your word, bless your people, and may we all be able to say it's been good to be in your house. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is simply The Father of Many Nations. The Father of Many Nations. And of course, we're speaking about Abraham, who's our spiritual father, and we'll see that here in just a moment. And just three thoughts here this morning, and that is a clarification of Abraham, our father's faith. What kind of faith did Abraham have? That's important because, spiritually speaking, he's our spiritual father. And then secondly, also a clarification on circumcision. And lastly, a clarification on the righteousness of faith plus nothing else. That's the way God says to come. You can't come bringing him anything. He comes to give us everything. And so we thank the Lord for that. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 1, and let's look at a clarification of Abraham, our father's faith. He says here in verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What did he find while he was here in his earthly body? What did he find concerning his own strength? Verse 2 says, for if Abraham were justified by works, that's the question, right? If he was, but he wasn't, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So this is important. He says there's no room, there's no bragging rights concerning anything spiritual in our relationship with the Lord. It is God that does everything for us. For what saith the scripture, verse 3? Listen to this. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, you're going to see this word counted. You're going to see the word reckoned. You're going to see the one imputed. And it is a banking term that means to put to one's account. So in other words, if you have a bank account and somebody put in $10 million in your account, you did nothing for it. You just received that, right? That was put into your account. Now, the things that we have, we put into our own accounts, that's one thing. But God says when you come to him, you can't give him anything, but he desires to put things into our account that will build our faith and give us understanding concerning our relationship with him. And so as we consider that, I want to just consider three questions. Ready? Does the Bible say that if we are saved, we are the seed of Abraham? Does it say that? It does say that, right? We want to, and listen, what does the seed of Abraham really mean? Well, we're not going to turn there, but I'm going to read this to you. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, listen, which is Christ. I want you to know that the Bible is saying that the seed of Abraham was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the promised Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer of all mankind, not just one group of people, but of all people, all nations. God has given us his Son, and he is the only way to eternal life. Listen, God has to bring us to the place of understanding and wisdom. We can't bring ourselves there. Before I got saved, I had some crazy ideas about how to be acceptable before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was brought up somewhat religious. I was brought up that there is a God in heaven. I'm glad of that. And I did believe that God said there's right and there's wrong. And here's what I thought. I thought, well, you know what? I don't know where I came up with this. But I thought if I had more good than bad, God would accept me. But God says, no, I'll have none of that. Because he says, even our good are as filthy rags. So those are unacceptable before me. But I'll tell you what I will do. Because I love you, I'm going to give you the righteousness of my son, of that seed that would one day come through the lineage of David. God even predicted, not even predicted, he foreordained how the Lord Jesus Christ would come into the world, the time that he would come into the world, and what he would definitely provide, and that is his righteousness for all those who would receive him. And so he says this, when we consider this, we find that God, when he talks about the seed of Abraham, he's really talking about all those that would put their faith, as Abraham did, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even before we knew his name, we knew that God was going to bless with his Messiah. So if we have anything to do with the salvation of our souls, that is considered our work. So any of these religious rites that people are involved with, that they do for God, that does not bring us any kind of righteousness at all. In fact, in the Old Testament, it was circumcision. That was a religious rite, but that was done because of the relationship already. In the New Testament, we have baptism, but that is given to us as those who have already trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and have received eternal life, and we'll see that here explained a little bit more clearer. Now, here's what's important. Ready? We have to be able, and God brings us to this place also, to say, God, you show me. Don't let me confuse your truth with my ideas. Now, what if I were to come to the Lord and said, no, Lord, I see what you're saying. But see, in my mind, I've got to do something for my eternal life. I've got to do more good than bad. Will that work? No, it won't work. I can't come to the Lord with my ideas. That was my idea for many years. And here's an amazing thing. Here's an amazing thing. Here's how I thought. Ready? I was not a bad person. That's how I thought. And by the way, listen, I was better than most. And if I wasn't better than most, I was certainly a little better than you. I mean, that's what I thought, right? I mean, after all, I mean, you see all those people? My goodness, they do this and they do that. Well, I did the very same stuff. But mine was, my stench smelt a little bit better. The rottenness of my sins was just a little bit cleaner. No, listen, before God, it's all wrong. And it will never be acceptable. And so we cannot approach the Lord according to the way that we think, but then we must come like this to the Lord. Lord, I don't understand. How about you show me what you want instead of me trying to give you what I think you want? How do you think it would fare for me if I was still believing, ready, that my good just has to outweigh my bad? Do you think I can have a certainty in that? Do you think God would see it the way I see it? No, absolutely not. And so the Bible says here that it's through the seed of Abraham, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing of our part. It's all that what he's done for us. And when any group of people really believe in any kind of a religious rite for salvation instead of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is called works. That is called doing your part. And God says, I've done it all. You cannot do something for me that I won't even accept. And so we need to be careful about that. Was Abraham, our father, justified by his good works or by faith in what God has promised? And of course, it's by faith. So consider this here. As we look at the clarification of Abraham, our father's faith, it was by grace through faith, and that alone, in the promised seed, as Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. Did you get that? Listen, to Abraham and his seed, that means to those who would believe on the truth. That's his seed, those that would believe. But specifically, the seed of Abraham was the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says this again, now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this is an important truth. There's no other way to eternal life but through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, if we want to use the human reasoning, and that's how many times have you ever heard that? If you ask the person or people who do not have eternal life, now what does that mean? Well, that means you know that you have eternal life. That means that you are saved. So if you were to ask somebody today, do you have eternal life? And they say, well, I think so. Well, I hope so. Is that eternal life? No, that is a revelation that they have never come to the place that God has brought them into the truth, that they would believe on the truth and that alone. Listen, I know I have eternal life, and I want to clarify it, not because of anything that I have done, but because of what God has done for me, and I am just simply the recipient. I could never be good enough. I could never do anything for God, but I do want you to know God has done everything for me, and I have placed my faith, or the interchange that word with the word trust, they both work. I put my faith or my trust in what he did for me to give me eternal life. So he put his righteousness in my account, and I cannot explain it, but in my heart and my mind, there is no doubt about it. That is completely clear. I could not live life. Listen, I would never preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ if I wasn't certain that I had eternal life. Forget it. If what do you mean? One day I think I'm going, one day I don't know if I'm going, one day I'm sure I'm going, and the other day I wonder again if I'm going. That's nonsense. That is not the salvation of God. God gives us, because of his grace, because of what he reveals to us, a true understanding of eternal life. So if people say, I hope so, and I'm not sure, there is something definitely that's missing there. And it's not because, listen, it's not because there's anything in me, but because there's everything in God that he's given to us and that he reveals to us so that we might know. Now, listen to this, the verse 4 and 5. Concerning the clarification of our father's faith, Abraham, we can either ask for a fair trial or a free pardon. You want a fair trial? Well, here's what I found out concerning the fair trial. I'm condemned. I'm guilty. If I want a fair trial, in other words, if I want to approach the Lord with my good and my bad, God will give me a fair trial. Listen. The crazy thing that God says, it's not really crazy, it's liberating, is that even my righteousness because of sin is no good. It's filthy. So watch this. Ready? Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned. In other words, the reward is the righteousness of God given to us. He says, but if you're going to work, if you're going to worry about your good and your bad, then God's going to give you a fair trial. But he also says this. He says that the reward is not reckoned of grace. Did you see that? Listen, look at verse 4. Now to him, to that individual that is going to depend on their good works, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of a debt. You're in trouble. That means you have a debt to pay that you can never pay. And so God will judge that. Then verse 5, but to him that worketh not, that's me. I'm glad of that. Listen, if somebody says, now here's the deal. If you work for this, you'll never get it. But if you let me take care of it and don't work for it, I'll give it to you. That's a no-brainer, isn't it? But listen, people, I don't know why people are so determined, but I'm going to work. God says, you're never going to get it. I'm going to work for your grace. I'm going to work for eternal life. I'm going to work for heaven. God says, you'll never get it. But if you'll recognize that you can't get it, I'll give it to you. If you'll ask me, I'll give it to you. So ready? Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, listen, but what? Isn't that something? I mean, could it be any easier than that? Listen, that is the difference between religion and the truth. Religion will propagate, listen, all kinds of rules for you to keep. But now once you're born again and you become a child of the King and you see his love, now your motive is because he loved me first. I love him because of what he's given to me. So verse 5 again, but to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that's me. Who's the one that justifies the ungodly? God himself. And so he's telling us right here, to him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith or trust is counted, that means put to one's account, remember, for righteousness. Because why? I'm looking to the righteousness of God, not my own. Man, I'll tell you what, that is freedom. That is, I don't ever, in other words, Is that what God said? You know it is, because man would never do that. Mankind would never do that. Man would have you do cartwheels, backflips, do the things that you... And if you could do all these things and walk on glass and do this and do that, and then when you do all that, I'll make you some more rules. Because that is the heart of man. We'll just never do it. But God says, I want you to know, I know you can't do it. I'll do it for you. So we have a fair trial or a free pardon. Notice this clarification on circumcision. And this is important because this is a religious rite. And I want you to see how the promise was given to Abraham in verse 9. Drop down to verse 9. Cometh this blessedness... We're talking about this grace that's not been worked for but believed in only. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? Does this come on those who have fulfilled religious rites? Now, I have followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. And if you're here and part of this church, you have followed the Lord in that. But that was not for eternal life. That was because of eternal life, and that you were identifying, saying that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the salvation he's given to you. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only those that have followed this, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned, trust was put into one's account, right? To Abraham for righteousness. Is that not, didn't we just read that? God put righteousness in Abraham's account because he trusted in the Lord. He believed in him. Now, how was it, verse 10, then reckoned? When was it put into Abraham's account before the Lord? Look at verse 10. When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? In other words, was it when he fulfilled the religious rite or before he fulfilled the religious rite? All right, well, the Bible tells us there. Verse 10, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Why did God do it that way? In other words, Abraham was righteous, had eternal life before circumcision ever came to pass. Do you know why? God wanted to make sure. He knows our human thinking. Listen, if somebody came to your house, a friend of yours came to your house and said, I want to clean your house, right? I want to wash your windows. And I don't want you to do anything to help me. Wouldn't that make you feel a little bit awkward? Wouldn't you want to say, well, I'll tell you what, I really appreciate that. Let me help you. Oh, no. I'm going to clean them. I'm going to clean all your windows in your house. And we would want to say, I'll tell you what, if you want, you do the outside and I'll do the inside, or you do the inside and I'll do the outside. How about that? And they say, oh, no. I'm going to. See, we have a hard time having people do something for us. Isn't that, listen, it's easy to give, it's harder to receive. It really is it not? Don't you feel a little bit awkward? Somebody presents something to you, somebody does something for you, you kind of feel like, oh my goodness, what do I do for this? Nothing. What do I do for it? Nothing. And especially when it comes from the Lord, God says, I don't want you to do anything for it. In fact, if you do anything for it, you ruin it. And so he says, I want you to know that it was given to him, Abraham, this righteousness, it was put into his account in verse 10, not in circumcision, not by a religious rite, but before that was ever fulfilled. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. Did you see that? He said he fulfilled it because he already got it. You cannot get the cart before the horse. You cannot do anything for God until he does something for you. And then he says, I'll receive it. But never the other way around. And so again, he says, verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal. Did you see what it is? It's a seal. So you remember the king's seal? He would have a ring. If he had important documents, they would roll it up. They would, right where it would join the other part of it, they would dribble some wax on there, and the king would put his seal on there. And what does that mean? That means that this is coming from the king. This is the king's goods. And only those that had the right to open it could open it. And it was to be carried forth in high regard. And so likewise also for you and I, Abraham, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith or trust which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father, listen, of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised or have performed any religious rites. Why? That the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. That means put into one's account. This is the trouble. But I think, this is the way I think it should go. You're not God. Sorry, I'm not God. This is the way if it's not done this way, I'm not doing it. Well, guess what? Ain't going to happen then, is it? And even if you did do it, what you may not know is God's not going to accept it. And you would condemn yourself. Well, this is what I'm going to do for the Lord. Did God ask you? Are you giving God something you want to give him or something he's asked you for? The only thing he's asked from anybody is that they would recognize their failing. They'll never, even the good that you would do. Well, I do this, I do that. Because we're sinners, all of it's sin before God. Even our righteousness, this is what the Bible says. I know it's not the way that we think. Our good is filthy rags before the Lord. And in case you didn't know what that was, that is the discarded rags from a leper. You know, they have all these openings, their skin is rotting, and they wrap it, and it's full with pus, and they undo it, and they discard it over there. You want to do anything with those rags? I wouldn't even want to wash them. The only thing that's fit for is a fire thrown on it. And that's our righteousness. It's fit for nothing but fire. So if we're looking to ourselves and our goodness, God says, I want you to know that's going to be thrown in the fire. And if you hold on to that, you'll follow it. And so that's God's truth. And by the way, why is that so? Man, we are so stubborn. We are. We are so prideful. Well, if God won't accept what I want to give him, I'll give him nothing. Well, then he'll take nothing. We're threatening God? You think God, oh my goodness, you think God's shaking in his throne? He's the one that's saying, oh, look at the price I paid that you might have eternal life. You want to bypass that? The Bible says to bypass that is to take the blood, the precious blood of Christ, and to trample it under your feet as worthless. It's either that way or it doesn't happen. Again, verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith, that particular faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Do you think God just set aside all religious rites? Absolutely. You cannot come thinking that you're going to do something for God at all, or you miss God completely. This is the, listen, people today, oh, you'll offend some people. You, if you preach that, you're going to offend people who are hung up on doing this and doing that for God. I want you to know something. How do you think they're going to feel for me to shut up my mouth and them stand before a condemned, a holy and righteous God and say, you missed it? I don't want their blood on my hands. I want them to know the way that God saves everybody, because that's how he does it. And he saved me. And I have been blessed with the privilege of propagating the truth of God's word. Not man's thoughts. Man, listen, let mankind be fit to be tied and upset at the truth if they want to. But I'm more concerned about what God thinks. Because God is the creator of every... Can you imagine? Listen, there's nobody more important than you are amongst people. God, of course, is all important. But as far as, they're just a human being. That's why in our nation, we don't want people trying to tell us how to live life. Because it's just their idea, especially if it's not coming from the Word of God. Here's how I think you ought to live your life. And they don't even do it themselves. Forget it. And so we get all caught up in what we think instead of realizing what there's only one thing that matters when it's all said and done. And that's what God has already said, not what we think at all. And so here we find that these people come into this whole plan of salvation, but without any religious rites. And so the last thought here is I want you to see this clarification on the righteousness of faith plus nothing else. God said this. I didn't say this. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Did you see that? I didn't make that up. How is it that we get this righteousness imputed, put into our account? The righteousness of God. In other words, here's the truth. If you've never understood it before, when God sees the believer, does he see our works or the righteousness of God? If he saw our works, it'd never make it. But God has put into our account his righteousness. So, he says again, verse 13, for the promise, salvation, that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Did you see that? That's God's word. Because the law worketh wrath. In other words, the reason why we're lawbreakers is because we're sinners. For where no law is, there's no transgression. God removes the law. Therefore, it is a faith, listen to this, it is a faith or trust in God that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. This is the family of God. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who does what? He quickens, he makes alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Do you and I have any righteousness that would stand before the Lord? None at all. Listen, we have none, but God places that and says, they're righteous. For how long? Forever. Forever. Praise God. It's like this. That's why he says, the world makes fun of this, being born again. Oh, you're one of them. Yeah, absolutely. Praise God. I am born again. You know why? Because I have four children, and they will always be my children. They can change your last name. One of them already has. Amen. But she's supposed to. That's the way it works. But you know what? It does not negate the fact that she's my daughter for all time. For all of time. And that's why it's important that we take on the name, the blood of Christ, and we become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what, man, I don't know why mankind is so angry with God doing such a good thing. That they've come up with their own way to do it. And it's not going to work. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations because before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Remember, it was beyond him to bear any children. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not, listen to this, his own body now dead. Now, before, some 15 years before, he could have gone into Hagar and produced an Ishmael. But God didn't want an Ishmael, he wanted an Isaac. And so God waited another 15 years to make sure that it wasn't even in Abraham to do it. So figure this, listen. God promised him a son, he can't have children. Sarah definitely cannot have children. She was like that for some time. But now he's dead. Physically speaking, to have children, can't do it. That's where God's trying to bring us to see that we can't do it. Even our righteousness can't do it. Even the good that we would do can't do it. And so he says, and being, verse 19, not weak in faith or trust in what God has promised, he considered not his own body. That's what we have to do. Stop considering what we think and listen to what God is saying, because it's dead. when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He wasn't looking to his wife. He wasn't looking to himself. He was only looking one place. You know where that was? To the righteousness of God. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith or trust, giving glory to God. There's no other way to give God glory. If you touch it, you take the glory away. If you think, well, I did this for eternal life, no glory. God's going to give me his glory, but I'm going to help him out. No glory. No righteousness. Can't do it. This is not my idea. This is God's word. And by the way, it's liberating. Notice again, verse 20. He staggered not at the promises or at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And listen to this. Being fully. That means it's not halfway full. That means it's not on empty. That means it's all the way to the top. Being fully persuaded. You think he knew he was saved? Do you think he knew he had an eternal life? You think he wondered if he was saved? He wasn't looking to himself. There was nothing there but death. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised God, he was able also to perform. Who's the promiser? God. He's saying, listen to this. It can't be any easier than this. If you put your faith and trust in what my son did for you to give you his righteousness, you have eternal life. You can't come to God with that truth and something else. It's got to be that and that alone. And if not, then I cannot talk you into doing anything. And if I did, that doesn't mean you have eternal life. God's got to give you that revelation, that understanding. Yes, it's his righteousness, not mine. I'll put my faith and trust in him. When God does it, you'll know. You will know. And so he was fully persuaded at what God had promised, that God was able to perform it. Verse 22, and therefore, listen, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Therefore it was put into his account. God put it in his account. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. It wasn't written just for Abraham that it was imputed to him. It wasn't just, listen, it's not just recorded to let you know what happened to him, but for us also. To whom it shall be imputed. Did you see that? Listen, God intended it for us so we can have it in our account also. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And therefore, Abraham became the father of many nations. And he has a posterity. If all those that will put their faith and trust like Abraham did, without works, in the finished work of the Son of God, will also have eternal life. Man, that is true freedom. Amen. That is true salvation. That takes everything out of your hands. Ooh, that's kind of scary, isn't it? But puts it in the hands of the best God there is. There's only one God. See, we don't like it when things are out of our hands. I got to help Josiah. I said, help. Josiah, learn how to drive. I want you to know, I never enjoyed for 1 minute teaching any of my kids how to drive. You know why? Because the wheel was not in my hands. And I'm thinking, okay, they're drifting over this way. They should be drifting back now. And they're not drifting back. They should be slowing down now. We're coming up to a stop sign at 50 miles an hour. I think it's time to start. At least let me feel that you're pushing on the brake a little bit. A little bit. And then they wonder why Dad, can I drive? I'm like, oh, no. Please don't ask me to do that. But see, now, if it's somebody who's driven, I could relax, right? Because I know that they have experience and they're in control. I can even sleep. But do you think I'm going to get 1 second's rest when it's in my kids' hands? No. Now, I hope that changes as I get older. Anyway, God says, if you put it in my hands, you'll have no doubt about it. But if you'll try to hang on to it, listen, you'll lose it all. You'll lose it all. You'll never have it. You'll never have it. It dishonors me. You're walking in a way that is blasphemous to think. And maybe you never thought about it. But may God bring it to understanding that God says, if you touch it, it's contaminated. But if you'll look to listen to what Jesus did for you that's perfect, without blemish and without flaw, you don't have to touch it. You just simply take it. And God says, you're mine. Wow. Wow. Listen, Abraham is the father of many nations, but our Heavenly Father is the God and Father of all who believe. It's just that simple. If you're here and you don't know that if you have eternal life, that's God's way to save us, not mine. If you have your way and it's different than God's, you're going to wind up short. And you'll never have peace and you'll never have rest. And if you are a child of the King, God has yet more to show and to give us concerning the life that He's already given to us. And all we have to do, either side, if you're not saved or if you are saved, is call upon the Lord. And He's promised to show us great and mighty things, listen, that we don't know about. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the understanding that You bring to our hearts and to our minds. And Lord, I pray if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, Lord, may You help them understand the truth. It's not religion. It's a relationship that You desire to have with everyone. Bless Your invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.